one day, we were like, hey, you know what would be great?
What's that?
A huge Christmas party this December. Let's say December 5th.
Fun.
Hey, you know who we should invite?
Ooh, how about Toby Mac? Call him.
So we did. Dude, Toby, hey, call up some of your closest friends. We're throwing a party.
Yeah, we holla at you.
So here's your official invite. Our sister station, 94.9 KLTY and Dallas Baptist University Concert Series, brings you Toby Mac. This Is Not a Test. Saturday, December 5th at Verizon Theater with special guest Brent Nicole. Colton Dixon. And Holland. Get your tickets right now at AXS.com. For special discounted group tickets, hit up GetGroupTickets.com or call 844-381-4751.
660 AM The Answer. 660 AM The Answer.com.
America's liberty is under assault and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiatis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Hey there, welcome back to second hour of Ladies Can We Talk. We're all like dancing, rocking out to this new music. We're so happy. I'm just so excited about this new music. It really is, it just symbolizes what this show is all about. I'm just thrilled with it. And again, the singer is Krista Branch, and you can buy her music online. I've bought her CD, and I mean, it just is so exactly what the message of the show is. Well, we're in our second hour, and our second hour, Ladies Can We Talk? I'm always joined by two of my buds, leading ladies, we call them. And so tonight, I have Mari Sullivan and Chris Davis here. And I want to kick off this hour by just talking a little bit about the Democrat side of things and how Joe Biden is floating, or he's still debating about whether or not to get in this race. And I want to talk about him in a minute, but I first wanted to say that he's debating getting in this race because of perceived weakness of Hillary Clinton. And during the Democrat debate this past week, when some question came up in the debate about the email scandal, and if you don't know about the Hillary Clinton email scandal, then you must have been living on the moon. But in short order, when she was Secretary of State, she kept her email server, not just her, had her emails come to her personally, came to, she had her own email server. Clear violation of federal law, supposed to be using, as Secretary of State, using a secured server that the government protects. And on top of that, she's been extremely duplicitous in revealing the content, deleting a bunch of them. And so people are trying to find out in her emails, essentially, things that relate to the night of Benghazi, and what happened at that attack on the American embassy in Benghazi. So in the debate this week, when Hillary was asked about the emails, to my astonishment, honestly, Bernie Sanders, the socialist who's running for president on the Democrat side from Vermont, weighed in and basically said, we're sick and tired of hearing about the emails. Everyone's sick of it. You know, we'll just move on. And so, of course, Hillary loved this because she's been trying to say, can't we move on? Why do I have to answer questions? So the question is, and I'm going to ask Mari this because we've been talking about this, is does Hillary, should she just get off the hook on the emails because, as Bernie Sanders says, it's all over and we're all sick of it?
Well, Debbie, you know, I'm not feeling the burn.
That's
Bernie,
right.
Bernie may think that Americans are done with Hillary's orange jumpsuit, damn email quagmire, but I'm not sure we're there yet, because here's my question. I think it's time for the GOP and the American people to ask if laws apply to our elected officials. Now, I can tell you what the Dems think, and they're in lockstep in this, and that's why the burn is saying, hey, it doesn't matter, because when things go bad and they've got answers for their failed policies. Let's talk about Benghazi. Let's talk about the email server. Here's Hillary. What difference does it make? And that's really the mantra of the Dems. What difference does it make? Nothing to see here. Move along. Well, we've got to stop that because it makes a difference. Their lies to the American people, their obfuscations, their crying that there's a right-wing conspiracy, and it doesn't matter. It does matter. So Hillary broke the law and risked our national security. I think it matters a lot. What do you guys think?
You heard the commercial, our listeners, before the break about this 13 hours, both a book and then the movies coming out in January. These young men, these brave young men serving over in Benghazi, are trying to tell the real story of that night. And we did lose for whoever's fault we'll decide ultimately was. And obviously, in first instance, it's the fault of the terrorists who kill people, who are violent extremists, and that, they committed the murders. But where in America's policy, where could we have protected them better? What could we have done? What Hillary's trying to say is, nobody gets to ask me. I already said I'm really sorry about these losses. I'm really sorry they passed on. But no one beside that gets to ask me. And so what she's really saying is, as you say, Mari, I'm above the law. And, that reminds me, we have a new ad that is playing. In fact, I'm going to see if I can get this to play on the Happy Computer right now. This is a new ad about Hillary and the night of Benghazi. So we're going to roll here, Mr. Producer over there. We're going to roll this, okay?
Dear Hillary Clinton, I'd like to ask you why you ignored calls for help in Benghazi. And then, four Americans were murdered.
I'd like to know why you lied, saying the attack was a response to an internet video.
I'd like to hear why you tried to silence the Benghazi whistleblower.
But Mrs. Clinton, I can't. What difference does it make?
Stop Hillary PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Okay, I'm going to tell you that ad, I just obviously played the audio, but if you were looking at the video, the television commercial that would play, as those words are spoken, the four people who perished in Benghazi, Glenn Doherty, Tyrone Wood, Sean Smith, and Ambassador Christopher Stevens, their faces show. And so Hillary's and her camp are having a fit about this, but this whole thing is really, the effort of the left, I agree with you, Mari, the effort of the left to minimize it, to say, oh, you're just picking on Hillary, it's beyond crazy. What the two issues are tied, and in case you're not making it clear, Hillary was Secretary of State at the time of this incident. Records show that she was asked several times for more security. We need security. We're worried here. They're acting crazy. And then she lied. She and others in the administration lied for weeks after this attack, claiming it was due to a silly little film that even the night of, and if you read this 13 hours book, which I have read, it's very clear no one on the ground thought, a video is causing this attack. It was obviously a planned terrorist attack on the anniversary of September 11th of the attack on America. And what she knew, when she knew it, how she tried to cover up, all of that would be in her emails, which she chose to keep in a personal server and a personal email address. And she has acknowledged that she's deleted hundreds, I think it's thousands of emails that she decided as the sole decider, these aren't relevant, you need to see these. And so what they're even looking at in the Benghazi hearing is whatever she managed to not delete.
Debbie, in that video of that ad against Hillary, the last scene is a picture of the gravestone of our ambassador. And it's very chilling. And as a parent, I think about what the parents of these guys are going through. And I hope that they will continue to demand answers because they're up against, the press. They're up against political machines. But as we say our prayers every night, I always ask the Lord to reveal truth. It needs, and people's heads need to clear, and we do need to follow the rule of law. The rule of law does matter for everybody. And that's part of the problem, with our Congress right now. They're not doing anything about our president who does not follow the rules. And people are so frustrated, ergo Trump.
Ergo, yes, all the outsiders gaining power.
And this also has to do with this concept of the Democrats are not into consensus building. That's so relevant to what we need to do in 2016. We need to have a party in power that believes the way you make laws is here's the problem. Now, how are we going to solve it? And you discuss it and you work it out and you have measures that actually effectively deal with the issue. You don't just cram it down people's throats or just do it by executive decree or have these big EPA HUD administrative regulations that destroy businesses.
Yeah. You know, there was a point when Mari was saying that I was thinking about. There was a great posting online. I don't know if I have it in the stack or not, but it was talking about one outcome of the last 6 years under President Obama is that so many things have been decreed from on high. You know, we are going to have these exemptions to Obamacare, and so I, the president, am going to have them, and there's no discussion. And even some of the things from Independent Women's Forum was making that point that one of the victims of this really tyrannical style leadership that's been occurring in Washington is the end of actual discussion leading to, leading to, and I have to say, I'm going to be really careful about something. We use the word consensus, and that's, consensus can be a good word, but you can get to the point where everything is supposed to be the subject of compromise. And compromise can be a bad word because all is what the left says. The Republicans won't compromise. What they mean by that is we, the Democrats, we dictate exactly what must happen, and the Republicans must compromise and agree with us. So it's a, yeah, go ahead.
What I want to say is it's even gotten more, it's gotten worse. Here's an article. Dems, Hillary could strangle a puppy on live TV and you'd still back her. It's worse than you think. She violated all these State Department guidelines to hide her emails. How about this? From Vox, a writer, Matthew Iglesias. Vote for Hillary because she's clearly more comfortable than the average person with violating norms and operating in legal gray areas. There are people on the left that really don't care, Debbie. It's their vision or no vision. And here's what's going to happen to all of us. When we don't have laws protecting our person and our property, we've got nothing. We've got nothing to protect us from,
no one.
From tyrannical government. And if the laws don't apply to them, we're in big trouble.
You know, my daddy used to say, either my way or the highway. And that perfectly sums up the Democrats. But I was going to bring up another aspect of this not following laws and just kind of, you know, they called George W. Bush a cowboy. Well, you know, Obama just does what he wants, you know, all the time. And in the Business Insider publication, a former senior FBI official who retired just a couple of years ago talked about Obama on 60 Minutes last Sunday night, talking about the investigation into Hillary and the comments that he made. This guy said that injecting politics into what is supposed to be a fact-finding inquiry leaves a foul taste in the FBI's mouth and makes them fear that no matter what they find, the Justice Department will take the president's signal and not bring a case. He said it's very inappropriate for the president to suggest what side of the investigation he is on during an investigation. And this president is a lawyer. He should know.
Oh, he should know, and he does know. Yeah. You know what? We're going to zip off to our break because we're, I hope we're going to have Suzanne Blackstone calling in. I will tell you, she's a friend of all of ours, and we've known her for a long time. And she's attending this presidential debate tonight at the Prestonwood Baptist Church. And many of the big time players are there. I hope that Suzanne didn't get caught up chatting with people. Otherwise, we'll have to talk about her. No, we'll have to talk about the debate without her. But I think she'll be calling in after the breaks. Is Debbie Georgettis and Mari Sullivan, Chris Davis, Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer with the best music on any show ever. Come back after the break.
A day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday right here on 660 AM The Answer.
John David Wells.
He is an outsider. He is someone that has captured the American imagination for his soft-spoken, logical, straightforward assessment of just about everything American. But then again, that makes sense. He is, after all, a neurosurgeon. His name is Ben Carson. He will join us live in person on the next edition of The Wells Report.
John David Wells, weeknights at 8, followed by Hugh Hewitt on 660 AM, The Answer.
A recent guest on Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis, Benghazi hero Chris Peronto is coming to town on October 29th. You can hear this brave soldier tell his story of what really happened on September 11th, 2012 in Benghazi, Libya. The ladies of the Irving Republican Women's Club and the Capel Republican Women's Club are hosting Chris Peronto Thursday, October 29th at the Las Colinas Country Club in Irving. For tickets, go to www.capelrepublicanwomen.com. Chris Peronto's story is told in the blockbuster new book, 13 Hours, and the movie 13 Hours, coming out in January 2016. If you heard Chris on Ladies Can We Talk, you know his story is not only riveting, but important for patriotic Americans to understand. Join Debbie Georgiadis on October 29th at the Las Colinas Country Club with Chris Peronto. For tickets and more information, go to www.capelrepublicanwomen.com. VIP reception available and a Q&A after hearing Chris's story. This is a don't-miss event.
Honey, I'm really worried about our retirement funds.
Oh, me too. We lost so much value in the recession and the stock market. I'm worried we won't have enough to retire.
Jim next door told me that he had set up a new kind of IRA with the Gold Silver Group. He said how simple and safe it was. It's a private storage IRA, and we could have real gold and silver in our hands.
Really? You mean we can actually see it and touch it?
Absolutely. Jim said we could have all the benefits of an IRA to help build our retirement income. Bottom line, we would own a real tangible asset, and we would have the security of knowing we're protected no matter what the economy does. What do you think?
I think we need to find out how to get our own private storage IRA. We need to call the Gold Silver Group right now.
Are you ready to protect your future? Call 800-296-7609 now to find out how easy and safe it is to set up a private storage IRA with Gold Silver Group and find out how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. All transactions are privately delivered and fully insured. Please call us now. 800-296-7609. 800-296-7609.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called Joel Clark, one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, on cholesterol medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? Under $25 a month.
Call 1-800-977-3397 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-977-3397. 1-800-977-3397. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
You want to feel connected, informed, included, inspired. So when important things happen, we're here. Your local radio and TV broadcasters. America's number one source for news, weather, and information on your radio, TV, computer, tablet, and smartphone. We are broadcasters, always here for you, wherever here may be. Tell Washington local stations matter by texting radio to 52886. Furnished by NAB and this station, message and data rates may apply.
660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Okay, I'm not going to start singing along with the music or anything. Actually, maybe I will sometime,
She's
but
close,
not tonight.
Folks.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Just love this music. I'm so happy about it. Well, we don't have Suzanne on the phone. Suzanne Blackstone is a friend of ours, and was one of the people, I believe, involved in planning this presidential forum at the Prestonwood Baptist Church. I will tell you, I believe, for a little old forum on a Sunday evening in Texas, they got an amazing array of candidates who were committed to coming, which were Dr. Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, who's been on the show a couple times, a friend of the show, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Mike Huckabee, and Rick Santorum. So I think it's actually kind of amazing that they all agreed to come. I'm going to hope she still calls. She's maybe tied up and trying to get out of there, and I told her don't call unless she gets to a quiet place, so maybe that's her problem. But
you know, Debbie, they're live streaming it at Prestonwood.org, and the place is packed, and it's a huge auditorium.
Okay, I'm going to look at it. You can look at it online. Is that what you're doing right now? Because I can turn the sound on my computer. I can do it too. Okay, so yeah, they're live streaming. Very cool. All right, well, I want to go back to Joe Biden for a couple of seconds. I had a interview this morning, the crack of dawn, with a Florida Fox News station on the subject of Joe Biden. And okay, and now we have Susan on the phone, so I'll put a comma there and come back to the story of Joe Biden, because there is actually more to say about him. But do we have Suzanne? Hi there, Suzanne.
Hi here.
Hi. So is the forum still going?
This is Suzanne, and people are still commenting about the speakers tonight, the candidates. It was amazing.
Well, you're breaking up a little bit, but go ahead and just give us a quick rundown, like the highlights of the panel tonight.
Oh, my goodness. It was very well done. Started off with Carly Fiorina and went to Senator Cruz and then on to Rick Santorum. And then we had Governor Huckabee, we had Ben Carson, and then we closed with Mr. Bush. And he came off a plane, and so bless his heart, he was rushed, but
Suzanne, you know what? You're breaking up quite a bit. I'm sorry, because I was telling them earlier, I had another radio show that you used to come on with me. It was fun, but you're really breaking up right now. It might just not be a great spot that you're able to find to call us. Are you there? Okay, we're going to get Suzanne. Maybe we'll get her on next week. Back to Biden. I want to say this about Joe Biden before it's not my turn to talk anymore. He is, he was viewed by many as kind of flirting with the idea of running for president, and mainly as kind of a backstop in case Hillary really messed up. And the party kind of wanted that. But I think he's genuine in saying he's truly weighing this, because he's not a spring chicken. I forgot how old he is now. He's 72.
72, yes.
Yeah. And he just lost an adult son, which is just painful beyond description to lose an adult child, any child. But I will say also that he loves public life. He's been an elected official for, decades. And so he does love public life. And, he's looking at it seriously. He did make a phone call that caused news this weekend. He made a phone call to a major labor leader, a gentleman named Harold Schaitberger, and he is the president of the International Association of Firefighters, or IAFF, which is a big union player. He is a big union guy player. And he talked to Joe Biden on the phone for 20 minutes. And the remarks that were shared by one of the union guy's assistants essentially made it clear that it sounds like Biden is leaning toward running. And so I just, he could really shake things up or not. So I'm wondering, what do you guys think will happen if Biden gets in? Is he going to give Hillary a run for her money or what?
Oh, I think he will. And I think that the Hillary machine and I think the press are all praying that he does not get in. It's going to be interesting to see, because the people who want him to get in are the people in power now. They would have their puppet there to maintain and carry out their plan. So I think he's definitely still doing it, but the press and everybody is trying to make it sound like Hillary hit it out of the park and it was a T-ball game. It wasn't MLB.
You're talking about her debate was a
yes,
T-ball game.
Absolutely.
Democrat. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there were low expectations for Hillary, and she hit it out of the park. And I'll tell you what Joe is waiting for. He's waiting for two things. He's waiting for the polls after the debate to see if there's a jump up, and there hasn't been.
No, right, it was not.
And he's also going to wait for the Benghazi hearing, because it's one thing to be in downtown Las Vegas with cheering fans. It's another thing to be before the Benghazi prepared committee with Mike Pompeo and Trey Gowdy. These gentlemen know how to ask questions and follow up. And Hillary is going to be asked about the facts. What happened? Why did it happen? Why are these brave Americans dead?
Yeah, she's going to be asked a lot about that evening. And, it's one thing for her to say leading up to it, I disagreed with their security assessment. I thought they were probably fine. I would never endanger them. But, there are two other things. There was a lot of speculation that the reason that this Benghazi mission remained in place was a gun running operation. And that is something that is, I don't know if Trey Gowdy is going to bring up on Thursday, Trey Gowdy being the Republican chair of the committee holding the hearing. And I don't know if he'll bring that up or not, but there's a lot of speculation that they had a gun running operation, which they perhaps viewed as being helpful to the ultimate cause, that they thought they were running guns to the Syrian refugees, no, to the Syrian rebels.
To the rebels.
So they are against, rebels.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Debbie.
No, go ahead.
Well, it gets back to nothing to see here. And they come up with an absolutely ridiculous reason for the attack on our diplomatic compound in the CIA annex, a video. How could anybody believe that?
Yeah,
so why did
thing.
They come
Why'd
up with
lie?
That? You lie because you're hiding something. What we're trying to find out is, what are they hiding?
Exactly. And you know what? We have Suzanne Blackstone on the phone again with a better connection. Says she, hey, Suzanne.
Hi, I am so sorry. I'm not sure what happened. I just wanted to tell you, people still are in the atrium and hallways talking about the candidate's presentation and how positive it was. There were no attacks on each other. They simply presented their view of how important their personal relationship to Jesus Christ is to them. Many of them went back to stories in their childhood, and they brought it forward in relationship to how they depend upon God's leading, God's wisdom, guidance from the Bible in their everyday lives. So it was a personal, each one, personal testimony, if you will, as to their life journey and their story. So it gave us great insight on each one of them. And then it was really good. Pastor Jack Graham had 5 minutes at least with each one and a question back and forth. And that too related to religious freedom, how they would approach religious freedom to preserve it in America, the issues that we're facing. ISIS did come up, and the fact that this administration has not reached out, and we have 100,000 refugees coming to America, and yet the Christians that are being attacked, killed, slaughtered, the churches that are being destroyed, our history that's being destroyed, we're not saving them. And we heard some strong words tonight, and everybody, I just did not hear a negative comment at all. Lots of standing ovations, lots of applause. And I don't think these candidates were saying things that were just to tickle our ear. I think they were speaking from the heart. And I think they were being very honest.
You know, Suzanne, I looked at the list again, at least as I was able to discern online, the candidates, this is the GOP presidential candidates who were here in North Texas at Prestonwood Baptist tonight at a forum or panel.
Yes.
And the ones I understand were there were Dr. Ben Carson,
yes,
Carly Fiorina, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Mike Huckabee, and Rick Santorum. Was that it?
That's correct. That is correct. All of the candidates were, including the Democrats, this was a nonpartisan, all of them were invited to come with the notice of focus of their personal story of how religion, how faith guides them. And they were all prepared to share that and share how it's going to guide them if they were elected president of the United States. And I thought they all answered it very, very clearly. It's all a very vital part of their individual lives and their family lives. A couple of the candidates really stressed the importance of renewing and strengthening the family, that it was the family structure that produces a solid, good, and kind society, one that looks after one another. They talked about the role of the church in government and how the church through history has been the ones that give aid to the hopeless and to those that are in physical, emotional need. And it was just very inspiring.
I'm so glad, Suzanne. We're speaking with Suzanne Blackstone, who's just a friend of ours, but also a Republican activist in North Texas and very active in conservative causes and Christian causes of many kinds. And she's telling us a little bit about the panel or forum held this evening at the Prestonwood Baptist Church, where we had six of the GOP presidential candidates who came to speak. And so, Suzanne, you know, we got a little sideways in our time here, but if we have about 30 seconds where we have to go to a break, but any kind of lasting impression or clear impression about these candidates? I mean, these are candidates speaking to a conservative congregation in the Bible Belt country of Texas, but I think that there are many Americans yearning for a genuine Christian faith to be heard today, given how far left the country has gone and how we are led by or not led by President Obama.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And Ralph Reed, who chairs the Faith and Freedom Coalition, they did an interview with him for about 10 minutes, and he talked about the unengaged, uninformed Christians that are in the United States today, and the millions that are not registered to vote, and then the millions that do not vote. And in the last election, it was close to 6 million people that did not vote. And Barack Obama won by 6 million. And if we can educate and engage church-going people that care about this country and care about the direction of this country, we can definitely save our country and take back our country and have freedom again, and not have a country that's run by the signature of the pen and we are following back the Constitution, going back to the Constitution.
Suzanne Blackstone, I thank you so very much for calling in. She's a dear friend and activist extraordinaire. And so we thank you for calling the Ladies Can We Talk. And we're going to zip off to our break now with, after the break, okay. Chris Davis, Maureen Sullivan. I'll be back for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer with more great music and with our new logo music. And we'll be back after the break. Suzanne, thank you so very much.
Bye.
AM, The Answer.
The Michael Medved Show.
A big new poll shows that young voters are falling out of love with one of their favorite politicians. Barack Obama? Nope. Another favorite. Which one? And official statistics show that only 60% of American adults are now working. Really? So what are the other 40% doing with their lives?
The Michael Medved Show. Afternoons at 5, right after the Sean Hannity Show at 2. 660 AM. The Answer.
Liberals and the media try to paint the Republicans as the party of no. But the way I see it, Republicans, or at least conservatives, are the party of yes. We say yes to families, to strong families. We say yes to educational choice for Americans of every income level. We say yes to life, to babies, and to moms. We say yes to legal immigration. Yes to responsible healthcare system that honors the doctor-patient relationship. We say yes to fiscal responsibility, to actually balancing the budget and living within our means. We say yes to keeping America strong and safe, to defending our country from enemies abroad and by securing our borders at home. Every week on my show, I urge Americans to speak up for America and say what conservatives stand for. Because when we say that, the mainstream of America will be right with us. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
Hey, this is George at the filling station DFW. You know, when I was a little boy, I was plagued by nightmares. Just about every night, those awful dreams would drive me into the safety of my father's room. In fact, I was so tormented by the fear of darkness, it caused me to search out the love and peace of God. It's a big reason I'm a Christian. If you're having your own bout of torment, or know someone that is, not sleeping at night, or battling thoughts of fear and scary what-ifs, maybe it's time to move into your Father's room, to draw near to Him, to Jesus. This coming Monday night, we're going to help you do that, help you move into your Father's room. We're hosting a very special guest, Michael Koulianos of Jesus Image. Michael's going to teach on living in and hosting the presence of our Heavenly Father. Now, for some of you, this is going to be a life-changing event. You need to come. For directions and information on the Filling Station DFW, go to our website. It's thefillingstationdfw.com. Fillingstationdfw.com. Hope to see you there.
Okay, from the start.
The acerola cherry.
Alfalfa leaf, aloe vera, apples, asparagus, banana.
Beets, bell pepper, broccoli.
Blueberries, blackberries, cranberry.
We make Texas superfood from 55 raw, vine-ripened fruits and vegetables. And then we add nothing.
Pineapple, sweet potato,
papaya, parsley.
In a capsule or a powder, one daily dose of Texas superfood delivers the healthy benefits of 55. Count them. 55 fresh fruits and vegetables, and you can see them all on TexasSuperfood.com.
Raspberry, spinach, the nutrients that we need on a daily basis.
Thousands of people benefit from taking Texas Superfood every day. Shouldn't you be one of them?
TexasSuperfood.com.
Doctors, pharmacists, nurses, and your grandmother all recommend that you eat more fruits and vegetables every day. So if you can't, won't, or don't, Texas Superfood is made for you.
It's borderline shocking how much energy I have.
Join us on TexasSuperfood.com.
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 Special announcement from Lumber Liquidators. Hundreds of styles and inventory are now available at our fourth annual Fall Flooring Yard Sale. For a limited time, save as much as 70% or more on designer quality floors with over 400 varieties of beautiful flooring, like 3/4 inch solid pre-finished hardwood from an incredible $199. Hot new wood look tile is clearance price from 99 cents. Hand-scraped hickory laminate is about half off. Plus, hurry in for additional yard sale deals starting at just 39 cents. And get 24-month special financing. Don't miss the Fall Flooring Yard Sale. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
866-660-5759 is the number to call with your question or comment. Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Okay, we're all rocking out to this new music. I'm going to have to stop commenting on it every time I come back after break, but the music is so, just we're so happy about how extraordinarily well it fits the message of the show. You know, I'm going to do something different. I just want to, at this point in the show, thank our sponsor. I quite often wait till near the end, and sometimes I like to spread it around the show. So right now, I want to say just a huge thank you to our wonderful sponsor, GC Works. And I tell you every week, but GC Works is a Dallas-based company. It performs research in advanced technology and delivers innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. It's a great company run by great people, and I'm just extremely grateful for their support for Ladies Can We Talk. That is our show sponsor, GC Works. So at this last half an hour, we want to go back a little more and talk about the Democrat debate really from some other perspectives we hadn't shared. I have tons of data, so I'm not going to read it all out loud because I know that that's one of the things they tell you that you shouldn't read data on the air. But really good data, really, about all these candidates and how well they're really polling and how their money raising is going. But before we get to that, I just want to point out, it was the oddest thing in the Democrat debate. You have five candidates who made it to the stage. There's actually a sixth candidate, by the way, running the Democrat side. He's a Harvard professor, and he's running on the single issue of campaign finance reform. But he didn't break through the 1% polling necessary to make it onto the stage. But I think his name is, it's an LL name, Lester Ladelsky.
Lassig, I think. Lassig. L-A-S-S-I-G.
Okay.
I pronounce it Lassig.
Okay. Anyway, but all five Democrats on the stage, all they could talk about was how terrible the economy was. And you think they're probably saying that because we have a Republican president. Oh, wait. We don't. We have a Democrat president. Don't you think that's just the most amazing thing?
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Well, it'd be funnier if it wasn't so tragic. But, you know, Hinda Rocker with Powerline, who is a genius, he just points out, hey, these Democrats see no irony in running against themselves.
Exactly.
They're clueless.
Yes. And
this economy stinks. Really, Mr. Vice President. You know, Hillary. It's awful. Really, Secretary of State. You know, they are, and you know, Bernie, we're at 10% unemployment. Well, tell Hillary and Joe.
You know, it's funny. You said something in the break, which I was saying, you know, what they're saying is the economy is horrible. Let's double down and do more of the same. And somehow it'll be better. Expand government, you know, interfere in the free market economy, raise taxes, hassle businesses. That'll fix the problem.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. And, you know, they don't want to be confused or troubled with the facts. And the facts are everywhere around us.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there was a great quote. I'm going to put this up on the... We actually, after the show, put up a bunch of posts on the Facebook page. We also, Ladies Can We Talk has just the best new cool website, ladiescanwetalk.org. We put up talking points. We put comments. We put videos. It's really fun to go to. And we always have a post-show links, just a quick article with all the links of the articles we talked about. But here's a Wall Street Journal thing. And it was a guy kind of getting after Peggy Noonan's, you know, her posting that basically said, now that Hillary did a great job in the debate, no one else should run, it's over, you know, Joe Biden should go home. But in this column, he writes, is titled, CEO to Obama, This Isn't Rocket Science. And he basically said, this is a guy named Andy Puzder, he's CEO of CKE Restaurants. He explains, it's a matter of supply and demand. When jobs are scarce and people are unemployed, wages and benefits decline. When the job market is strong and businesses must compete for employees, wages and benefits improve. The solution, then, is more jobs. This isn't rocket science. And he said that directly in response to President Obama blaming stagnant wages on the decline of union membership. It's so economically idiotic. Right. But he gets away with this. At least one guy finally, you know, called him out on it.
And you know, it was so interesting that this statistic that you gave a while ago about, 6% union involvement in the private sector, and it's over 70%.
It's 35 in the public sector.
35 in the public, but what they get in benefits and wages is like 70%.
78.
High, 78. You know, when I used to work for the county, for every dollar I put in my retirement, they put in $2. Collin County used to do $2.50, and then they got real conservative leadership, and they backed it down. But still, I mean, you know, you look at how they've ramped up the size of government, and then they ramp up the benefits, and it's not sustainable.
No, it's not. And I can't wait for Biden to get into the race and tell everybody about how mad and angry he is and the devastating economy is for workers. You know, I just love it when they just... Are they on stage? Are they from another planet? Are they getting, you know, signals from outer space?
You want to hear my serious answer? I'm totally serious about this. If you are afflicted with a left-wing mindset, you think the solution to everything is just outside your grasp if you could just have a little more power. It is ultimately the thinking behind socialism. If you could just agree to put this small cabal of people in charge of everything in the economy, you could fix it. It's just a matter of not giving government enough control. They don't see the slightest irony to this at all.
I find that hard to believe, Debbie. I mean, okay, some people may think that. I really think they're just along for the ride. They've got all this power and all this ability to steer the ship of state, and they love it. And they love their private planes.
Oh, they
and
do.
They love
their
being
power.
The saviors. And I really think that they don't care that we're going to crash and burn and the bus is going over the hill.
They just want to be out, off the driver's seat by the time it gets there. We know we're going to go off to our break here so we can leave ourselves plenty of time in the last segment. We often dedicate the last segment of each show of Ladies Can We Talk to tweets and quotes. And sometimes we don't have any or we get off on other stories, but I think we have a little handful of them tonight that are really, they are kind of entertaining. Sometimes they're poignant. Sometimes they're just really revealing of people's thinking. We have some really great tweets and quotes, and we want to share with you tonight for the last segment of Ladies Can We Talk. So come on back after this break to Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Be right back after the break.
Something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show.
Mornings 7 to 10
on 660 AM. The Answer.
In a 1940s movie called Gaslight, starring Ingrid Bergman, she's married to a creepy guy who's trying to drive her insane so he can put her away and get access to her money. To do that, he misleads, mocks, and berates her to make her question what she sees, hears, and thinks. This gaslight tactic the creepy husband uses is used in today's politics. Mainstream Americans want border security and an end to sanctuary cities, but we're berated by politicians who say that if we think that, we're racist. Many Americans support traditional marriage, but we're told we're haters if we think that. Same on abortion. We either support it or we are part of the war on women. All of that is gaslighting, and it works when we are silenced by those who mock. Gaslighting shuts down free speech and thoughtful conversation. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America.
Are you ready to take your education to the next level? Arizona State University now offers over 90 top-tier degree programs, 100% online. With ASU's highly ranked online programs, you'll earn the same degree as our on-campus students, with the ability to learn wherever you want, whenever you want. Same world-renowned faculty, same leading education, same global recognition from one of the top universities in the world. Call 1-800-581-5369. That's 1-800-581-5369.
I'm Jamie from Sherman Oaks, and I just graduated with my degree from Arizona State University. I chose ASU because I received the quality education I deserve in the major I wanted, all from my home.
Jamie's not the only one to earn a degree from ASU. There are over 90 degree programs offered 100% online from one of the top universities. Now's the time to learn more about earning your degree online from Arizona State University. Call 1-800-581-5369. That's 1-800-581-5369. If you could choose any school from which to earn your college degree and be on your way to a better life, would you choose a school the Wall Street Journal recognized for producing some of the best qualified graduates, one the Princeton Review ranked as a leader in undergraduate education, and one U.S. News & World Report named number one in the nation for innovation ahead of both MIT and Stanford? Discover why Arizona State University is a clear choice for your future. In addition, ASU Online offers over 100 graduate and undergraduate programs you can take 100% online and on your schedule. You'll receive the exact same curriculum, degree, and prestigious faculty as our on-campus students. For information, call 1-800-600-3122. U.S. News & World Report also ranked ASU in the top 10 best places to earn an online degree. So get started today and learn to thrive with Arizona State University online. Call today at 1-800-600-3122. That's 1-800-600-3122.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has taken people by the hand and taught them how to invest in real estate for over 24 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they've won local, state, and national investor of the year awards 9 of the last 9 years. It's easy to see why Personal Real Estate Investor Magazine named us the best in the U.S. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to PassiveIncomeDallas.com to access our free live training event schedule.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
You can listen on the go. Find us on iHeartRadio. 660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Okay, as we've been saying throughout the show, we have new music on Ladies Can We Talk. And as this bumper music was playing prior to the start of this segment, Mari Sullivan's over there rocking out. And everyone, we've been singing along. Mari made the point, actually, you know, Can You Hear Us Now? That really, the line of that came from what President George Bush said a couple of days after the terrorist attack that toppled the World Trade Center towers in September 11th, 2001. And he was there to, you know, lock arms with and support the workers who were cleaning out and hopefully trying to find any possible survivors. And he spoke with a megaphone and he used the expression, you're going to hear from us. And I'm going to assume, I actually didn't ask Krista Branch, but I assume that's where it came from. But Mari's making the point in the break. This is what the people of America are saying to their government. Can you, will you please, it's kind of like Ted Cruz's very, very constant Twitter, you know, hashtag, which is Make DC Listen. Can you hear us now? Are you listening? What we want you to do? Because I think many people on both sides of the aisle think, no, actually, they don't listen and they're not responding. So we need to try to help them do that. Well, in this segment, I did want to share a little bit about fundraising, just to say that our, you know, there are two kinds of fundraising that candidates do, and they have used the expression soft money and hard money, and there are different ways a law permits it to be spent. But hard money is actual cash sent in donations by individuals to candidates. And so it's money that you write a check to a candidate or and your friends and neighbors do. That's hard money. Soft money is money that goes to PACs. And PACs are legal, of course, and they are organizations that collect money and they have to spend it in different ways. So I will just start out by saying that Ted Cruz has really been just knocking it out of the park raising hard money, meaning it's the grassroots who are just galvanized by him and trying to get behind him. He was actually recently hit third place in a poll. Now, I'm going to be the first to say that Donald Trump is way ahead. Donald Trump is, you know, in first place by a lot, and Ben Carson's up there too. And then, but they and they are, you know, the real outsiders, and then Carly Fiorina. But on the subject of the fundraising, it's actually a depressing thing. I'm going to share a depressing truth with you. In 2016, the presidential candidates, the top three the top two fundraisers, the ones who raised the most of all the 26 candidates, are Hillary Clinton in first place and Bernie Sanders in second place. So while people on the conservative side can be saying, wow, you know, Bernie Sanders is a crazy socialist and Hillary Clinton's got all these ethical problems, they're raising a lot of money. And they have both hard and soft money behind them. And, you know, Jeb Bush is actually doing surprisingly well also. And he's actually raising most of his money through soft money. It's a lot of PACs that want to see him. He's not galvanizing the individual donors. But Ted Cruz is in third place on the subject of who's raising total overall money. Jeb Bush, Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz. So I say all that to say, you know, you can make donations or not if you want to, but your money does talk in politics, and it actually galvanizes other people. When people hear Ted Cruz go through his hard money donation story, it makes other people say, wow, you know, if that many people, and I've forgotten the average, I'm not going to make it up, it's a low number. The average donation to Ted Cruz's campaign is very low. It's not like a bunch of Americans maxing out, which, you know, there's a federal maximum permissible in campaigns under federal law, which, you know, is all you can do. But it's people are, and some people do that, but a lot of the Cruz campaign is getting limited dollars. So we're going to turn to our tweets and quotes, except Mari has something to say.
Well, I just was going to say real quick, and it's interesting. A lot of the candidates are using their money well. Ted Cruz is one of them. Trump is one of them. I'm not an expert on how everybody's using their money, but I know some people are using it very, very wisely and thriftily, and Hillary Clinton is pouring through money. I mean, she spends a phenomenal amount of money, and for one reason, she's very unlikable. Let me just say this one little thing. We were talking about this earlier, and here's another very interesting after-debate interview with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's one of my all-time favorite politicians. I run to the TV every time I see her curly hair. She was interviewed by MRC.
That's a joke.
Yes, big time joke. Thank you for laughing, Debbie. Okay, she's interviewed. This is a very poignant question. She was interviewed after the Democrat debate, and this young woman with MRC TV, a media platform television station, said, "You have three children, correct?" Wasserman Schultz, "I do. How old are they?" "I have twin 16-year-olds and a 12-year-old. Interviewer, in your opinion, were they human beings before they were born?"
Oh, you're not supposed to ask her that. She
she asked the question two more times. Well, the answer the first time was, "I believe every woman has a right to make her own reproductive choices." And the interviewer said, "But what did you believe about your children?" And then again, this question, "So were they human beings, just yes or no?" Wasserman Schultz, "They're human beings today."
Yeah, you know what? I like that you share that. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the she's the head of the Democrat National Committee. She's, if you ever see her on television, the really, really, really curly, frizzy hair, and just says a number of just obnoxious things. They have a hard time, that issue. And in this campaign cycle, many of the more prominent GOP presidential candidates are more overtly pro-life. I don't think Mitt Romney made it a big deal, but a lot of the top candidates really are making a big deal. Okay, I'm going to jump off then to our tweets and quotes, because we're going to, all of a sudden, I see we're almost out of time. How'd that happen? Okay, this I thought was very, very funny. During the Democrat debate, which was painful to listen to, but I did, Donald Trump tweeted out, "I'm not even on the stage, and I'm winning this debate." Okay, do you not think that's, I mean, he's so funny. And it was perfect because no one could stand listening to them. So that was funny. And then there was actually one where the RNC chair, Reince Priebus, who's not my favorite person, he actually has a column in which he was quoted saying the GOP is, in his words, cooked if we don't win in 2016, which seems like an extremely, poor thing for him to say.
Oh, we've been holding our nose and voting for the Republican candidate for years that they've put up. If he would get a brain and put up a real conservative, he would see votes like he couldn't believe.
Exactly. And Mitt Romney was interviewed for this article and took some shot at Donald Trump about his comments, and Donald Trump again tweeted out, Mitt Romney and his campaign manager should not be critical of candidates after they blew an election that should never have been lost. I mean, he has about three or four blasts at Romney about, you know, who are you to tell me what to say, what not to say. Well, you know what? You guys had a quote.
I just have a quick one, and this isn't funny. I read this week that clergy from the Episcopal and the United Methodist Church gathered outside an abortion clinic to bless it. And I just can't imagine anything more horrifying. It brought that verse from 2 Chronicles 7:14 to my mind that says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." We need healing.
You're not kidding. You know, we are actually down to 30 seconds left or 20 seconds left. So I'm going to say thank you for tuning in. Ladies, Can We Talk? Tonight I'm Debbie Georgetta. So I have with me Mari Sullivan and Chris Davis. Thank you for our guests who called in, Charlotte Hayes, Independent Women's Forum. To my technical director, Dan Bradford. Please follow me on Twitter at Debbie Can We Talk. Go to our website, Ladies Can We Talk, and tune in every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m., 6 to 8 a.m. The Answer. Ladies, Can We Talk?
Thank you for listening to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. To learn more or to contact us, go to ladiescanwetalk.org. And be sure to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on 660 AM The Answer.
Here's a quick way to figure out whether someone loves American-style liberty or not. Ask about American exceptionalism, because I'll tell you what American exceptionalism is based on. It's about the idea in the Declaration of Independence that all men and women are created equal, that we have rights from our Creator to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's about a Constitution that both limits and defines government's power. It's about the freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. It's about the values that emerged from the Declaration and Constitution. It's about limited government. It's about morality based in the Bible's teachings. It's about rights of the individual, not the group. It's about self-reliance and opportunity. It's about family structure. It's about free markets, not collectivism. It's about the rule of law. It's about predictable and limited taxes and regulations. It's about optimism, the can-do spirit, the sense we can go as far up as our dreams, efforts, and abilities take us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about.
Are you a business owner who is jealous of some of the great commercials you hear right here on 660 AM The Answer? Do you feel a little left out when a clever commercial plays and you wish it was about you instead? Nothing's worse than hearing a catchy commercial from a competitor who is